This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Don't miss your window of opportunity. Upgrade your space now during Blinds.com's anniversary sale and save up to 50% site-wide. Blinds.com. Elevate your windows with the number one online retailer of custom window treatments. Blinds.com offers hundreds of premium window treatment options. Choose from woven wood and Roman shades to blinds, motorized shades, and more. All designed to fit your budget without sacrificing quality. Blinds.com brings the showroom to you with free virtual consultations and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Our design experts can help schedule a professional measure and installation, plus guidance for DIYers too. Blinds.com has been trusted for 29 years, earning thousands of five-star reviews. Shop with confidence, knowing you'll get upfront pricing, no hidden fees, and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. But hurry, these savings won't last. Shop Blinds.com's anniversary sale happening right now for up to 50% off site-wide. Save up to 50% site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
N-Y-Y-S-T. Hello. Why do they doubt the kid? I'm about to prove them all wrong again. I got a low tolerance, cause they don't even know what the problem is. It's me. You waiting on the boy to fail, then hold your breath and face your death. Cause you play a roulette with each step I progress, no less. Go ahead and place your bet. Cause we know where we at, we know we top tier. Cause all the hate that you bring, we know it stops here. I'm taking off like a rocketeer and stopping here. It's strange how they cannot see the future, but see profit.
Welcome back. This is episode 450 of the NYYST podcast. We are live here on NYY Underground. I am your host, Christian, as always joined by my co-host, Sem.
What's up?
Well, just get it out of the way now. What's bothering you? Tell me, you know, inform the people what's gotten you down this week.
Nothing.
Nothing.
No, I'm perfectly fine.
No, you're not. Why you got the window open?
DIY projects don't smell too good.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. So we're live here on NYY Underground on a Wednesday night because we just felt like switching things up. And when, like we said last week, we'll be back next week also live here on Wednesday night. Normally, I don't get that out of the way in the first 3 minutes of the show, but next week is going to be a very special episode. Longtime fans of the show maybe know what we may be doing next week, and there may or may not be some special guests joining us as well. So make sure that you have it set and locked and ready for next week at 8 o'clock on Wednesday here on NYY Underground. But we're here live tonight. Chat, if you're lively tonight, let's go. Like this video, subscribe to NYY Underground. I would normally tell you to go get your tickets for March 29th, but oops, we did it again. We sold out the Audi Club, so if you're going to be there, we're looking forward to seeing you on March 29th. Also, if you're listening to this show on your favorite podcast platform on Thursday morning, please like. Can you like podcasts? Who the hell knows anymore? Subscribe there as well. Leave us a 5-star rating and review and tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Okay, so now we got all the bookkeeping out of the way. The Yankees are doing some medical bookkeeping as, you know, things have not gone well for them here in this last week. We touched on Giancarlo Stanton last week with the double tennis elbow. Now it's officially confirmed that he is not going to be ready for the start of the season. So, you know, we can talk about what that means, who they may or may not bring in, who the internal options are. I know I put my candidacy behind Ben Rice last week. Let's just get this out of the way early. You want to laugh? You want to have a good laugh? You want to chuckle here? DJ LeMahieu, the washed machine, got hurt in his second spring training at bat on Saturday. Not that we ever laugh about injuries, but who didn't see that coming? That DJ LeMahieu got himself hurt. Calf injury, he doesn't think it's that serious, but it will cost him some time. Will likely take him out of the running for third base for opening day. That's why whenever you and I have discussed this, I've never really put too much effort into it other than saying that he can't play third base on opening day, and it turns out that he won't be playing third base on opening day for the actual reason that he's hurt, like I said, that he would be.
Yeah. I don't know. That was a. I don't want to say I'm happy he's hurt because I'm not happy he's hurt. Never want to wish anybody that. But it's a little bit of a relief. Obviously, they owe him money. I feel like they would have brought him out there no matter what. I think we both are in agreement about that. So, I mean, DFA him, get him out of here. Bye.
You know, that's some hard hitting analysis on your part there. DFA him, goodbye.
Okay. DFA him, goodbye. I've been saying DFA him, goodbye since last year. He sucks since he had kids, or his kid was born. He went out on was paternity leave. He came back. He sucks since. Yes. Go back.
Was that his first kid?
I think it was his. I don't know if it was his first kid or second kid. I don't know if he's got
If it's the second one, then you can't blame him.
He came back from fucking paternity leave, and it shows to show you that kid sucked the life out of you. He sucks since.
Okay, well, you got 5 of them, so, you know, you know better than anybody.
I do not have 5 children.
Well, it feels like it with the amount of complaining you do.
I might.
About them.
Who knows?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, well, I mean, with you, the shit that you were up to back in your younger days, you...
Nobody knows.
I mean, you can only confirm 3 of them, but you might have more out there.
He's joking. But
your wife's not down there.
No.
Can you tell your wife not to try to jump the curb every time she sees me out with the dog?
I think she was trying to hit you.
No, that's what I'm saying. Tell her not to jump the curb, bro. I wasn't running this time. I was just walking the dog, so I was able to see her and avoid her.
Well, she's always on the horn honking at everybody, so she was hitting it. I'm like, who are you yelling at now? She goes, oh, it's a Christian.
She's a big honker?
Oh, she's a big honker. She's always honking at everybody, screaming at everybody. She's got road rage.
You know, that's the 4'11" Italian in her.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're going to get beat up.
She just texted me, by the way.
Oh, God.
You know what? I'm glad that somebody's wife watches this show. So there you go. Okay. Well, the big injury news for the Yankees is obviously Luis Gil. Has been shut down after he experienced some pain in his shoulder. It's a what do they term in here exactly? A lat strain, a severe
lat strain.
Yeah, well, it's a very similar.
Clark Schmidt last
yeah,
year.
Similar to Clark Schmidt last year, and Schmidt was out from May 20 something to September 5th. So I mean, that's probably the time frame that we're looking at. For Luis Gil, I mean, he's not going to pick up a baseball for 6 weeks. So we're 3 weeks out from opening day. Tomorrow is 3 weeks to the day from opening day. So you figure, bang, 3 weeks, opening day. Another 3 weeks puts you in the middle of April. He's probably, realistically, I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't throw the ball for 7 or 8 weeks. So now we're into May, and then look at another 3 months, May, June, July. I mean, what are we looking at here? August before we see Luis Gil, I think at best in that 2 weeks post All-Star break. So you're looking at late July to early August before we see Luis Gil back on the mound for the Yankees.
If we're lucky. How many times they're ramping up a pitcher and it's always, oh, we're shutting him down for 2 weeks. He had a little bit of pain in his elbow. You know, it's always something. They'll come up with this.
Well, that's true. Like if he has no setbacks, I mean, we're looking at best case scenario mid July, late, you know, early August for him to come back. So is he, you know, he's ready for the stretch run into the postseason? Look, Chris and I argued about this a lot on the show last year about innings limits and the Yankees shutting him down at certain points, and he was against it. You know, I never thought the Yankees were going to let him pitch as much as he did last year. Is this a residual effect from the amount of innings that he pitched last year? You know, after not pitching for 2 years, basically, with the Tommy John surgery. I mean, you could say that. I mean, I would love a doctor to tell me whether or not that had any effect on him. But the fact that he went to the lengths that he went to last year, when the Yankees were originally, you know, you listened to Boone at the beginning of the season last year when they knew Cole was going to be out. They were kind of capping him at 80 innings. And if I look that up right now, Luis Gil threw, what did Luis Gil throw last year, not including the postseason?
Wow.
He threw 150. He threw 151 and two-thirds innings in the regular season last year after he had not thrown since May of 2022 in a big league game. He threw four innings in 2022, and he did not. And then he threw 151 and two-thirds innings last year. So this guy missed 2 years with Tommy John surgery, throws 150 innings, and now he's, you know, he's dealing with a lat strain. You know, who knows, you know, if these things are connected.
What a lat is. What is a lat?
Well, you don't have one.
What is a lat? I don't have a lap because I got a big gut. But where is, I failed health. A lat. Oh, okay.
It's your latissimus dorsi muscle in the upper back.
Yeah. So he like, yeah, that's got to suck. I don't know. We were all expecting him to end up getting transitioned to the bullpen last year, and it never happened. Well, he just pitched straight through into the postseason.
He had those back spasms, which was really the Yankees kind of resting him a little bit there towards the end of the season. So, you know, could it be too much workload? It's possible. I mean, 150 innings is a lot of innings for a guy to throw normally nowadays, let alone after not having pitched for 2 years, and then he was, you know, wasn't doing nothing except for making kids in the offseason, and then he comes back and he tries to ramp up and something goes wrong. You know, who knows, man? All I'm saying is that, you know, out of the three injuries that we really kind of dealt with this week with, you know, Stanton and LeMaitre and Gil, this is, to me, the biggest injury the Yankees are going to deal with, because this is the reigning Cy Young, this is the reigning rookie of the year
rookie
here.
Of the year.
The guy that gave you 150 innings last year, and a lot of them were at ace level when he was covering for Gerrit Cole through the first half of the season. So, you know, you're looking at internal options right now to replace him. You know, I think a lot of people think the leader in the clubhouse is Marcus Stroman, and it shouldn't be. The Yankees don't owe anything to Marcus Stroman. Marcus Stroman, you know, got his wish, I guess you could say that, saying, I'm a starter. Well, this is probably going to be his opportunity to start right now, you know, but I have always been a big proponent of Will Warren. I like Will Warren's stuff. Even last year when Will Warren got smacked around, I liked Will Warren's stuff a lot. You know, even Paul O'Neill said he's got the stuff to be a big league pitcher. It's just, is he going to put it together and learn how to get big league hitters out? Okay, so if I'm dumb, is Paul O'Neill dumb as well? Because, you know, a lot of people said I was dumb for thinking that Will Warren can do this at this level. So, you know, he's pitching to a 1.13 ERA in the regular season, in spring training right now. You know, I'm looking at situations where what is my upside versus two guys, right? Marcus Stroman could be good. He could give you some quality innings in the beginning, but realistically, we know what Marcus Stroman is. He's going to be a guy, you know, maybe four or five innings, you know, maybe three or four runs. He's going to pitch scared, which I don't really like. I don't like guys that go on the mound afraid, which Marcus Stroman exhibited last year. And, you know, a lot of people will point to the fact that the Yankees had a bad defense and he strided away from contact, which all might be true. I'm not denying that. But also, if you gave him prime Roger Clemens' arm, he still couldn't break a plane of glass with his fastball. So that's also why he shied away from contact, because his stuff didn't allow him to be in the hitting zone. He couldn't get guys out by throwing the ball over the plate. So do we want a repeat of that, or do we want to see what Will Warren is? Because you saw the overlays online. He looks almost exactly like Michael King. We saw how the Yankees developed Michael King. We saw what Michael King developed into even further after he got traded to San Diego. Do we want to see what Will Warren has? Yeah, to me, that's what I want to do. I want to see what Will Warren has. I want to see if Will Warren has built upon the stuff that I saw him have last year. I want to see if Will Warren can build upon the spring training and see if he's a real viable candidate to replace Luis Gil in this starting rotation. I don't want to see Marcus Stroman, because I know what Marcus Stroman is. I'd rather the Yankees sell me on the hope or the promise of what Will Warren can be. And maybe I could be a little bit excited every fifth day to see Will Warren take the mound and see if he can take that next step to be a major league pitcher, as opposed to being depressed knowing that I'm going to watch a guy fucking nibble on the outside part of the plate for four and a third innings.
Marcus Stroman's a basket case to begin with, so like, he's a liability to be putting out there. But the guy goes out there, says, hey, I'm a starting pitcher, I'm not going to pitch out of the bullpen. He goes into spring training, you think competing, trying to get that fifth starting position, that's the fifth, being the fifth starting pitcher, and he's got a 9.82 ERA. So that goes to show you, either he's struggling or he's pissed off and he don't give a shit. Which one is it? I think it's probably a mix of both, but that's a problem either way. He's an aging pitcher. He's probably losing some velocity. He pitches to contact. They're going to light him up, right or wrong.
No, he's going to get lit up if he tries to throw his stuff over the plate, which he can't do. And, you know, as a fan, as somebody that, you know, I have said this because people said the Yankees are going to be boring this year. And I said, what does it matter if you're watching paint dry for 3 hours, as long as the Yankees win? But also, you know, there is an entertainment aspect to baseball, and I don't want to see a guy nibble.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
For, you know, 4 or 5 innings. I want to see somebody be aggressive out there, and he doesn't have the stuff to do so. You know, this is not, you know, I don't want people to think this is a personal shot at Marcus Stroman, because it's not. I don't know the guy personally, but this is a shot at his ability as a baseball player, on as a pitcher for my favorite baseball team. I don't want to watch him pitch for the Yankees. I don't
understand what's going to be boring. What, we're not going to be hitting home runs left and right?
Because there's not going to be anybody shaking their ass.
Okay. So you're going to watch a team that's basically half brand new that you really haven't seen play. How is that boring baseball? Boring baseball is losing baseball. If you're winning, what the hell is boring?
Well, that's what I've said on this show. Probably, I think before you, maybe I said it with you, maybe before you got here, I said, who cares what the results look like if the Yankees win? If they're the most boring World Series team ever, who the hell cares?
They win. Exactly. You're excited if you get the win. So who gives a shit? Because Juan Soto is not going to be there? It's an overreaction to that. Everybody's so pissing and moaning, whining and bitching. You know, listen, Luis Gil going down, that's a kick in the nuts. You know, DJ LeMay, the washtag, whatever you want, DeLay,
the Maytag.
Yeah. Bye. I don't care. Giancarlo Stanton. I don't know if we're surprised about the Giancarlo Stanton thing. Like, that could be pretty deflating, but like, I'm not surprised he got hurt, but I am still upset. No, you know, so like, I can understand people being upset about that, but to sit there and say it's going to be boring, I don't see how it's going to be boring.
Let me get to Scott Horwitt super chat here before I lose it. Guys, what do we do with Jason if he can't hit or field well? Scouts say he was not any better in center field than left. Oh, well, then we're shit out of luck, bro, because I don't know what you want me to tell you if a guy that was our top prospect and, you know, sold to us as the next Mickey Mantle and that, you know, is supposed to be a generational type talent can't fucking hit or field well. We're beat. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And I'm going to tell you, and like I'm going to tell every other Yankee fan, drop the attitude about that right now, because we haven't seen enough of Jason Dominguez to sit there and make a distinction about him one way or another. And I think this kid's got all the potential and all the talent in the world, and I want him in left field. Well, actually, after last week, I said I want him in center field. I want him in the opening day lineup. I want him in the outfield every day, and I want to see what we got. So let's go with that right now. Let's be optimistic and be positive, because, you know, if you read Aaron Judge's scouting report, you know, after he was drafted, he was, quote, maybe going to be the second Yankee or the second player ever drafted by the Yankees to make an all-star team. He would be maybe have 25 home run power. He's probably, in the last 10 years, is he not the best right-handed hitter we've seen, possibly? Or since he's been here, he hasn't played 10 years. In the last 8, 9 years, the seasons that he's put up after what scouting report said about him. He in all honesty, is a three-time MVP, and without injuries, he might have more than that. And a scouting report said he would be lucky to make an all-star team. So I'm not concerned so much with what scouting reports say about 21-year-olds other than the eye test. And when I saw this guy get a little bit of a run in 2023, I saw a guy that had confidence and can hit the ball, and we weren't concerned out there. And now he got hurt and a position change, and things have changed for him. You know, he's also 21 years old. What were you doing when you were 21 years old? I know what I was doing with 21 years old, and I wasn't dealing with the pressures of trying to be a fucking center fielder for the New York Yankees. So give the kid a fucking break, please.
That's a lot of pressure. Think about the pressure that's on his shoulders, and he's got to get there opening day. I mean, listen, if he doesn't perform opening day, what do we do? Okay, on to the next game. Deal with it.
Go ahead.
You can't run around, the sky's falling, the sky's falling, the sky's falling. You got to give this kid to the end of May, June, before you really start like saying, oh, shit.
Not everybody is Juan Soto or Alex Rodriguez and ready to be an all-star at 19. You know, that's why those guys are who they are. That's why Alex Rodriguez should – let's be honest, bro. I don't care what these guys did. Alex Rodriguez didn't need to do it. Might be the greatest baseball player I ever watched through his prime, right? Okay. So, and then Juan Soto, we all know what Juan Soto can do with a baseball bat in his hand, right? There's a reason why those guys are the upper echelon A-plus of the A-plus players, right? Not everybody can develop like that. And this kid's 21, going to be 22 years old, right? So, you know what? Give him some run here, dude. They gave Anthony Volpe 2 years of being just ass. We can give let Jason Dominguez take left field this year and see what we got.
No, I mean, everybody's already wants to let George Lombard Jr. in there. You know, it's like everybody wants a quick turnaround. They want these players to play and be phenomenal out the gate. It's not going to happen. No one's good at their job the first day on the job. You know, I mean, last year he came back, he got hurt the year before, right? Yeah, Tommy John. Last year he didn't get back till midway into the season.
Tommy John in 2020.
He got hurt again.
Something
happened. And they came back. I mean, he hasn't played baseball.
He has
really
not played
so
exactly.
Much.
He's not played a lot of baseball. And while we were all of us were, you know, Scott, I don't know why you're saying, okay, LOL. You're the one that asked the question. I gave you the answer. If you don't like the answer, don't ask the question. I mean, I don't know what else to tell you, buddy. Yeah, I appreciate you being here. I appreciate the super chat. But, I mean, you know, that's you asked me a question. I gave you an answer, you know?
Lol. I don't know. The guy's name's fucking awesome. So
when we were all whining and bitching, me included, about where's Jason? Where's Jason? Where's Jason? When Alex Verdugo was shitting up, just completely stinking it up the joint with like a 515 OPS for 3 months, right? Brian Cashman said, this guy hasn't played a lot of baseball. He hasn't played baseball. He needs to get at bats. He needs to knock the rust off. You know, so now are we seeing that? Are we seeing a guy that's finally healthy, you know, getting – and remember, when he got called up here, he didn't play every day. The Yankees called him up here. You know, he played Monday. He didn't play Tuesday. He played Wednesday. He didn't play Thursday and Friday. You know, he played Saturday, then he didn't play again the next Wednesday. You know? So now the guy is up here playing every day, learning a new position, you know, trying to knock the rust off of, you know, inconsistencies and, you know, being injured. I mean, guys, we need this guy. You don't replace, you know, you don't come back from a prospect of this level just falling on his face and being garbage. You know, that's why this is such an important year for Anthony Volpe, is it not? Because now if we're in year three of a guy that has a 600 OPS, guess what? Our future, our shortstop of the future sucks. He's not our shortstop of the future. Now the Yankees have to sit there and honestly, will they? I don't know. I don't want to see it. I really don't. But it would be really interesting to see what the Yankees did if Anthony Volpe had another season of a batting 240 with 10 home runs and a 600 OPS. That would be crazy. to, you know, if they would just automatically give him the job in 2026. It would be interesting to see. But obviously nobody's rooting for that. Nobody's, you know, wishing for that. But, you know, now you're looking at a situation where your cornerstone franchise shortstop, you got to replace him after 3 years. We wouldn't want to go down that route with Jason Dominguez.
No, like, listen, I mean, the Dominguez is on, like, the Tarpons, the, you know, the Patriots or Scranton Wilkes-Barre. You know, he's not in the news every day. He's being dissected at every angle right now. You go on Instagram, TikTok, anything like that, and all you see is him not making the play in left field. You know, that's got to be a lot for a kid to take on, especially when he's supposed to be, like, the next coming. And every day you're sitting and there's people just talking shit about you, being negative. That's a lot to handle. It would affect me. I think it would affect anybody. Like I said, you have to give this kid months, not days, not weeks. You have to give him months to see if he's developing into what we want him to be. And at that point, too, if he sucks in the left field, you put him in center field and see if it improves his game. Maybe that's what's throwing him off. We watched it happen with Glaber. We watched it just derail him completely. We don't know what's going on with him. What are you going to do? I'm going to be pissed off. I'm going to scream at my TV. I'm probably going to throw my remote, and I'm going to be pissed off. And then I'm going to piss and moan. I'm going to text you 15 million times about how this is bullshit, and then we're going to put the game on the next day. That's what we're going to do. That's the realistic thing. That's what's going to happen.
Look, you want to know how the Yankees are going to replace Juan Soto and how this lineup is going to be exciting this year? Well, it's Jason Dominguez. That's how it's going to happen. I mean, he's got the tools. He's got the most potential to replace him. He's a, you know, I mean, what's the other option, guys? You want Alex Verdugo to come back? You want to send Jason Dominguez down to AAA and, you know, get another year of Alex Verdugo? So tell me, what do you want to do? Because I'd rather suffer through the growing pains with Jason Dominguez. That's what I would rather do. So I don't know. I didn't expect to have to go off on a side note here about Jason Dominguez, but people ask questions. I answer them. I don't know where Verdugo is, Rye Bread. Are you seated or unseated? Because I don't like seated Rye Bread. He doesn't have a job right now.
He's not signed. He's just hanging around.
Yeah, he's hanging. He's waiting for a call. You know, I'm sure some
waiting to go down to the Mexican League to play with Bauer. Bauer's Trevor, whatever his name is.
So
what's going to happen with him? And Anthony Rizzo too.
So, you know, going back to Luis Gil, you know, so we're at a point in spring training where he wasn't even really built up. So he's not in my house. Okay. Relax. He's not here. I don't want him here. I locked him in my basement. I shouldn't have said that out loud. No, I'm kidding.
Who's in your basement? What happened? Ooh, what?
I locked Alex Verdugo in my basement. This way he couldn't play for the Yankees again.
I thought you put him in the attic.
I don't have it. I'm in the uppermost part of the house. So he's not up here.
There's not an attic above you?
No.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. If I punched a hole here, that would be the roof.
No, there's definitely some sort of soffit up there.
All right, so come over and find it then. I don't know. There is. This isn't my house. I don't live here.
I just sleep here at night.
All my shit's here, but I don't live here. Yeah, so now we're with Heal, right? So he hasn't been built up at all. Now he's going to, they said no throw for at least 6 weeks. So it's probably 7 or 8 with the Yankees. So then even when he's ready to throw a ball again, he's got to go through an entire spring training, which is 6 weeks. So, I mean, we're not really looking
to see him for a long time.
No,
I wouldn't be surprised if we don't see him at all this season.
Would it stun me if we got news that he's shut down for the entire season? No, it really wouldn't. But the reason why I put so much stock, or I shouldn't say stock, the reason why this injury is the biggest injury to me out of the three that we're going to, well, we're done talking about LeMaytag. There's nothing to talk about there. The three that we're discussing this week is because so much of my optimism regarding the New York Yankees in 2025 was how good the starting rotation was. And now you're taking out what essentially is your third best starter, your reigning rookie of the year. A lot of people believe he's got the best pure stuff of anybody in the staff. And honestly, it's hard to really argue that. It's either him or Gerrit Cole for me. But if you want to argue he's got better pure stuff, I'm not going to give you a serious fight on that. I'm taking him out to put in either Marcus Stroman or a real unproven guy in Will Warren. Now, obviously, as I said earlier in the show, I would rather go with Will Warren, give me the potential of the upside, at least a little bit of excitement there to see what this kid's got over what I know I'm going to get out of Marcus Stroman, which, you know, maybe early on in the season is better than what we saw later on. Maybe he would give you a couple winning performances. But like I said, I'm just over Marcus Stroman as a Yankee, man. And like, I know people were, you know, somebody said to me, this is why you didn't trade Marcus Stroman. Now, the reason why the Yankees didn't trade Marcus Stroman is because nobody wanted Marcus Stroman. The Yankees apparently called the Giants about to trade Marcus Stroman for Taylor Rogers. This is according to Joel Sherman, and the Giants basically hung up the phone on him. So I don't know why, you know, Cashman thought that was a deal that the Giants would be interested in, but you know, if the Yankees could have traded Marcus Stroman, they would have done it, you know, literally the second after Alex Verdugo struck out to end the World Series, they would have done it. Nobody wants him. There's a reason for that. He's not good and he makes a lot of money. So
how old is he?
He's not that old in terms of baseball. I would say he's probably like 34, 35.
I would like to see what his numbers were to begin with, and then what they're at now. Like, what was his fastball when he started?
He's turning 34 on May 1st.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
Wow. I felt like he was older than that. He's only, that's wild. He's my wife's age.
Yeah.
He's a loser.
No name calling, okay? No name calling.
I haven't liked him. Yeah, listen, like I said, I'll always go back to that. We all.
Francis is in the chat tonight. What's up, my brother, Francis? Where's Kev, bro? He runs his mouth all day. He doesn't want to pop in here. Anyway.
I don't know. All these guys are young compared to you, though, because you're like 50.
I'm not 50. We got into that a couple weeks ago.
40. I know. I'm bringing it back up. You're like 49 and a half.
You know, Scott Wright, he's 34 on a small frame. Makes him seem older, especially when you lost your fastball at 34, you know.
I was 10 feet away from him last year, and he looked freaking older than that to me.
I don't know. I'm not judging people like that. Maybe you are. That's okay.
He just looks old. Oh, I thought he was going to be like 37, 38. That's really where I thought.
No, I knew he wasn't. I knew he wasn't that old. I knew he was relatively young in terms of older for, you know, maybe a baseball. Actually, you know what? Nah. He's the same. Gerrit Cole, I think, is turning. How old is Cole's turning 34 this year, right? Or he is already 34?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's crazy, though. If you think about where those two guys are at their careers. Is that Cole is turning 35 in September, and you still look at Gerrit Cole as one of the top pitchers of baseball, whereas Marcus Stroman is turning 34 in May, and you are basically saying his career is over.
Yeah. He's a situational pitcher at best at this point. You know, you get him in, put him in there when you need to get him out. One out at the end of an inning. I don't like him. He makes me nervous when he pitches. It's just the same thing with Rodon too. Like, I have no faith in Rodon. I have zero faith in Marcus Stroman at this point. And it sucks because last year he started off pretty decent, and then he just fell off the face of the earth and he just sucked.
Francis, like, if that know, go ahead.
You know where he's going to put the ball. If I know where he's going to put the ball, the guy coming up is going to know where he's going to be. It's not.
So I knew I liked Francis for a reason. Francis was born on May 3rd, and that was almost my daughter's birthday. But we got her out 9 minutes before midnight.
Yeah, it was late. She was. I remember being up and you texting me.
She's gonna be five this year, bro. It's fucking nuts.
That's fucking wild. That's wild. I don't know. I bought Marina a car and I still haven't registered it because I'm just don't feel.
That's like right. She does have the same birthday as the Rocky, and that's why we wanted her. It was that's why we wanted her out on May 2nd. I didn't want to risk May 4th. I didn't want to risk it. I couldn't deal with that shit.
May the 4th be with you.
That was her original due date. And I was like, no, absolutely not. If she wasn't born by May 3rd, I was gonna stick a cork in there to make sure she didn't come out until the 5th. We're not dealing with that. There's nothing more pop culture-y nerd, like that type of shit I despise more than Star Wars.
Well, you're a loser, so.
No, actually, I'm a winner because of that.
No. No, absolutely not, bro. You watch your favorite baseball team's called the Evil Empire. It's a Star Wars.
Actually, no, the Dodgers took that.
Oh, they took it now. Sorry,
and I never acknowledged that. I never acknowledged that.
What do you think they play at the end of?
I know what it is. Every inning. I know that stupid horn is from fucking Star Wars. I know
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, mine, Aaron MVP. Mine is 10-4. That's my birthday. And instead of getting a birthday present on my third birthday, I got this dickhead over here.
Fourth, I'm not.
On my fourth birthday, I'm sorry. My aunt and uncle didn't buy me a birthday present that year, and so they're like, "We got you a cousin."
Did Judge hit the 62nd home run on
my birthday? Yes.
Yeah. Right. It's pretty exciting. Oh, that's how I remember that day. I don't know.
I cannot believe that I haven't lost power because it's pretty shitty out.
It's still raining up on you?
Yeah. It was really windy. I was waiting for trees to start. My power actually flickered before. I thought I was going to be starting up my generator. So
Kev, what's your problem, bro? Tell me. Tell me what your problem is. Is somebody you know born on 10-4? Is that what your problem is? That they actually have a good birthday? Well, you know what? I like your son, bro. I don't like you very much, but I like your son. You know, obviously, legends are born on 10-4, okay?
That's a big 10-4.
I'm surprised more people haven't used that against me.
Well, I say it every day at work, so I don't want to say it to you when I'm out of work, but... It's a big 10-4.
Sam was born 3 days and 4 years after me.
October 7th. Greatest day, 1987, the greatest day in human history.
We kind of own that week. We do,
because then Parker's 106. So I call him 106 and Parker.
Didn't we have another one that was almost close?
I believe so. Oh, I think Aubrey was supposed to be in October. Was she supposed to be in October? I think Aubrey was supposed to be in October.
My nephew was born the day after my parents, or the day before my parents' anniversary.
There's too many kids in the family.
We got a lot of October business going on in this family. My mother was born the day before Halloween.
Yeah.
My parents' anniversary is the 16th, so my nephew was either born the 15th or the 17th. I don't remember.
I don't know. I saw one of those posts that said, if you're born in November, whatever. You know what your parents are doing on Valentine's Day. I was like, oh shit, that sucks. And then I remembered I was premature by a month, and it hit me. And I called my mom, and I told her what a filthy person she was.
So now that we got all the fluff birthday chatter out of the way, let's get back to business here. The Yankees are also dealing with Giancarlo Stanton's double tennis elbow. He was officially put on the IL. Or he will begin the season on the IL. I haven't heard anything about him reporting to camp. They said he was going to report back to camp sometime this week. I haven't heard anything. So, you know, like I said, if anybody really thought that he wasn't missing 40 or 50 games on, like, the good end of things, I really don't know what to tell you. And I love G. I would still expect, you know, and I'm not anybody. I never take shots at Giancarlo Stanton. I love the guy, especially after what he did in this postseason. But if you didn't think he was missing 40 or 50 games this year, I don't know what to tell you. And that's like on good. That would have been good if he only missed 40 or 50 games. The problem is that he's doing it right out of the gate. Like he couldn't even hit like 10 or 15 home runs first and didn't get injured. So I don't know, man. I haven't. It depends. He had the PRP injections in both elbows. I don't know how what the recovery on this is. You know, is this another? Are we missing him for 3 months? You know, the Yankees are going to need to come up with some type of offense here to replace him. You know, so like I said last week, Ben Rice is the guy for me. That's where I would like them to go if they are you know, looking for in-house, you know, candidates to be the DH. You know, I know a lot of people are hyping Dom Smith right now. He's performing very well. I just barely got the words out of my mouth. Francis says Dom Smith. You know, so I don't know, man. Like I said last week, could he get hot for a couple weeks and, you know, play, you know, have the short porch play to his advantage? Yeah, but again, like it's the same thing with Marcus Stroman versus Will Warren. Give me my guy. Give me the upside. Give me the potential. Let me get a little bit excited about seeing a young guy play and see what he can be over what I know this guy is.
Was Ben Rice, he missed out because of COVID, right? And then they found him playing like a stickball game someplace. Is that how? I think that's the story behind him.
Where did you hear that?
I can't remember. I've been listening to a lot of interviews and bullshit lately. I'm pretty sure. Could be someone else. I'll have to look it up. Do you know what a PRP injection is?
Ben Rice was drafted by the Yankees in 2021.
Was he?
Yeah, so I don't know.
I don't know.
No, I don't think they found him on the side of the road.
No, but stuff. I thought something like because COVID messed something up for him, and because that's when he came out, or that's why they drafted him, because they saw him play. I think he missed out on something with college.
Well, a lot. There was no baseball season that year. They cut the baseball season short. So
and
maybe,
I think that he was somebody saw him playing like a stickball game, like he's good, and then that's why he got drafted. I don't know. Anyway. Wasn't Stanton hurt last year? Didn't they say he played through this shit?
He was hurt in the postseason. He was dealing with this issue in October. They did say that.
Why is he getting treatment now?
Well, it was like the same time that the Yankees knew that Luis Severino was hurt in the postseason, whenever the hell that was, 2019 maybe, and he didn't get treatment for it until spring training.
But so how do you not learn from your mistakes? Not to mention that Giancarlo Stanton injuries is part of his game. You know the guy is as fragile as a carton of fucking eggs. Why are we waiting till start of spring training to get PRP injections or at least getting CAT scans? He should have had dog scans and fucking MRIs and you name it at the end of the postseason. So they knew what was happening. It aggravated me. When I heard that I wasn't surprised. But I'm aggravated about it. I feel like someone dropped the ball. Seriously, I don't.
Well, the Yankees have never
himself.
Well, you know, they knew about it. How's it his fault?
Exactly. So how do
they have to send him to the doctor?
And he needs to advocate for himself or something like that. I'm pissed off at him. I'm pissed off at everybody. This guy is getting hurt all the time. It's always been lower leg. It's a lower body.
Well, he had bicep tendonitis. He missed like 50 games with that.
Well, but the guy can't run to first base at this point. Just take it easy. What are they going to tell him now? No, you can't jerk off at home. Like, your elbow's hurt. Like, stop doing stuff, Stanton. Lay in bed all day long.
You know what? You know, I'm not going to even – I don't even want to know why you're injuring your elbows doing that. You know? I don't even want to know why.
I don't know. What else are you – come on. How did they not look into this in November? Or December.
Because you want to know.
Or January.
Season over. Bye bye. We'll see you in
I
February.
Get it. Come on. It's ridiculous.
I mean, if they thought it was something that he managed through October, maybe they thought that it was something that he could, you know, dissipate.
But he didn't even start swinging a bat. Like, what was he doing? It had to be hurting him the entire time. It's not like he just get off a plane and you're there. And you're like, oh yeah, by the way, my elbow started hurting me from the
nice warm weather. You know why? You know, he's Dig Big Stan, bro. He's our playoff god. You know, so we bow.
Well, maybe that's why he's hurting himself. He can't lift it anymore.
And that's why, you know, he can go out there and smack home runs in the postseason with one arm. You know, he could just he doesn't even need a bat, bro. He swing his Dig Bic and hit home runs.
After that postseason, you got to be excited to see him opening day. It's raining on my parade.
You know, like Scott says, you know, the Yankees trip over and contradict themselves all the time. So who the hell knows if he was even really hurt in October? We don't know. The Yankees talk out of both sides of their mouth with injuries all the time. You know, who knows who to believe? All we know is that the guy that carried us through October is air humping his teammates in Queens, and the other one is not going to be ready at the top at the beginning of the season. So the Yankees are missing a lot of offense here. So where do they go to get it? You know, according to Joel Sherman, he said that multiple sources have told him that the team is focused on acquiring a right-handed bat capable of playing third base or a corner outfield position. That is what Joel Sherman has been reporting today. So, you know, that is not boding well for your guy, Oswald Peraza, and the fact that the Yankees have batted him ninth no matter who the hell they put in the lineup is not really a great sign for me, for Oswald Peraza. But, you know, do they want a right-handed – before we take the third base aspect of this, I don't think the Yankees are looking for a right-handed corner outfielder to replace Jason Dominguez. I think what they're doing is looking for a guy that can platoon with either Ben Rice or Dom Smith. Ben Rice, okay, at the DH position – and somebody that can give the Yankees a little bit of relief in the outfield if there's a tough lefty, because their backup outfielder, their fourth outfielder, is left-handed. So I think they're looking for a little bit of versatility there in that regard, because if you look at their outfield, it's all left-handed. Jason Dominguez is a switch hitter, but he's better from the left side. He's going to play majority, you know, of his at-bats batting left-handed, right? So Cody Bellinger, left-handed. Trent Grisham, left-handed, and then obviously Aaron Judge is right-handed, so it would make sense for them to be in the market for a right-handed outfielder, a guy that can, you know, play out there a little bit. Yeah, obviously, I don't think that he's going to be a threat to me. I'm saying he's not going to be a threat to Jason Dominguez, but also be able to platoon with Rice or Dom Smith at the DH position. That's what I think that they're looking for, that particular player.
What about Pereira? I can't say his name.
Pereira. And that, you know, if they're looking for a right-handed outfielder, that doesn't bode well for Pereira's prospects either, because he's a right-handed outfielder. So, you know, you can read the tea leaves of what the Yankees want to do versus what they don't want to do. They, you know, okay, Pereira's here. You know, he's a guy that people still have high hopes for, at least being a capable major league hitter. You know, why not him? Why are you looking for a right-handed outfielder? Well, obviously the Yankees are telling you they don't like him very much if they're looking for a right-handed outfielder, because you already have one on your 40-man roster. They don't like him. Why? I don't know. He came up here in 2023, sucked, and then he was hurt. So, I mean, what do we really know about him at the major league level other than he was terrible when he got his little run there in 2023? But again, you can't, to me, I can't make that big of a deal about it and say he can't play at the major league level because of that. Because then again, last year he was hurt. So who knows, right? And what they're telling you by telling you that they're looking for somebody at third base still is that they don't want to hand this job to anybody that's currently on their 40-man roster, is what they're telling you.
Yep.
They don't like any of their internal
options. They also said it's still a competition for left field, that it's up for grabs. They don't even want to commit to Dominguez being the left fielder.
Well, they need to commit to it. They just need to just shut the fuck up and give and commit to him, okay?
They need to commit.
What are you going to do? Like, really, honestly. If he, you know what? if you're not going to give Jason Dominguez the job on opening day, just release him, because obviously you're telling the rest of the world he sucks, and he can't even crack this team with the holes that we have, right? So what are you going to get for him? Just release him. Let him go play somewhere else, because it's time now. It's time to let Jason Dominguez shine. It's time to let him be a New York Yankee and take the reins over in left field. Enough already.
How do they commit to one player like Volpe and let him play for 2-3 years, and then other people, they just, oh, we don't know if we're giving him third base, oh, we don't know if we're giving him left field. They're wishy-washy and all these other players. What did Anthony Volpe have on them?
He had the story. That's what it was.
He had the Fanatics contract.
The local kid from New Jersey who grew up a Yankees fan and was at the parade in 2009. That's what he had. The first round pick. And Scott, exactly. The marketing. It's a story. They're trying to sell you a fucking story. The Yankees so desperately. Every day I see the LED boards at ShopRite of buy your Yankee tickets now. And it's Cole and Judge and Stanton. And they so desperately want Giancarlo Stanton off that board. They don't want him being the holy trinity of the Yankees. Now, if...
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Ugh, your clothes are too tight, yet you can't lose weight, even though you've tried so many diets. The reason you're having trouble losing weight could be a liver clogged with fat, and that is slowing your metabolism. Introducing Omicid, a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism, so it's easier to lose weight, and it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Find out more and see the university studies at omicid.com. That's AlmaSed.com.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a 15-year veteran and 3-time champion, subscribe to my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week where we take you through the ins and outs of the association's top storylines, as well as breaking news and so much more. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Soto had re-signed, he'd be right there. He'd be the guy. They want Anthony Volpe. They want more than anything. They want Anthony Volpe to be part of the holy trinity of the New York Yankees. When you go and see, buy your tickets now. It's Judge, Cole, and Anthony Volpe. That's what they want. So, yes, it's all about marketing. They want to sell you on the homegrown kid. They want to sell you on the local kid. The kid that idolized Derek Jeter was at the last World Series parade. They want to sell you on all that. The fucking problem is that he hasn't cracked a 700 OPS in 2 years as a big leaguer. That's what the problem is. He hasn't lived up to the story. Now he came here and he had a hell of an October. We talked about that a lot. He had a hell of an October. This is why this is a make-or-break year for Anthony Volpe. This is it for him. I'm telling you right now, I'm putting it all on the table for Anthony Volpe in 2025. If you do not have at least a 750 OPS in 2025, you're done. You're cooked. I don't want to hear about you anymore. It's over. You know, there's a lot of us that grew up Yankee fans and played high school baseball in New Jersey and were at World Series parades. We all shouldn't be the shortstop of the New York Yankees.
You know, that was his first major league game. Was the first time I drove to a game by myself. Obviously, I never went to a Yankee game without you, but I wanted to go and I wanted to see Judge introduced as the captain. for the first time. You didn't want to go. I said the hell with it. I got over my fear of driving over bridges. I got over there. I got lost heading over there. I got there and I'm sitting down. I'm like, oh, this place is going nuts. And that place went nuts when Judge came out. It was pretty loud. Then when they introduced Volpe, I'm going to say it was two times louder for Volpe. And that blew my mind. I remember sitting there like, you got to be fucking kidding me. So it's the truth. They really do. It really was a story that they sold us, and everybody got high on it. I mean, we're all there for his first hit. It's crazy. He's not shaking out to be what he is. But you're gonna give him 3 years. You got to give Dominguez at least 3 months. You got to give Ben Rice a chance at DH. And this is it. Like, I feel like so many people they bring up and they throw them back down to AAA. Bring them up, and they we're all screaming, yelling at the end of the season. Bring them up, bring them up, bring them up. Anthony Volpe just got it right off the bat. He just never, and then he never even got sent back down. He's playing like shit. He never got sent back down.
Can't send him back down. Once he's here, you can't send him back down. That sends the wrong message. It doesn't send the wrong message. It would be nice if they did, they realized that and said maybe he's just not ready. But the Yankees will never admit that they are wrong. And by sending him back down when he was terrible, especially in his rookie year, when it looked like maybe he was a little overmatched, what they would be telling you is that they made a mistake, and they will never, ever tell you that they made a mistake.
Clint Frazier.
So he's here. He's here. We're going to get, and I'm telling you, I'm not wishing this. I don't want this to happen. I need this kid to be great. We all need this kid to be great. But if he sucks again this year, they're going to ride him until the final year of his contract. So he's under control for 6 years. Guess what? He's going to be the shortstop for 26, 27, 28. And then they'll send him on his way like they did with Gleyber Torres. Maybe somebody will want to take a shot at him. They can get a decent trade for him, but they'll never truly admit failure on him. They can't. They won't. I shouldn't say they can't. They should if that's what the situation is, but they won't. They will never do that. Remember the historic class of free agent shortstops that they sat out on. Remember that they gave us IKF at shortstop for him. I'll never admit failure on this. He could be literally the worst player in baseball next year, and they will give him the job in 2027.
See, that's where they're
2026. Well, smart. What do we say on here? Smarter Yankees.
Yeah. Well, that's when we get aggravated, because you see all these players come. These players come and go, and we get nothing for them. You get $5 for them. It's better than nothing.
But at the same time, I'm truly happy that the Yankees didn't yo-yo him back and forth. You gave him the job. It's his job. Let's see what he's got here. You ruin more guys by doing that. Now we put in the work, right? It's time to bear the fruits of this. Now we got it out in October. Now we need it for 162. The Yankees need Anthony Volpe to step up this year. They're not going to be what we want them to be without Anthony Volpe taking that next step. They're not going to be what we want them to be without Jason Dominguez being a good player for them either.
No. I mean, Anthony Volpe sucks because he's quick on the bases. He's supposed to be like a base running guru. He's never on base. He can't manufacture any runs. Same thing with Jazz Chisholm. It's going to be the same thing. It's small ball. You got Dominguez, if he's smacking the ball out of the stadium, I don't think he's going to be anything like Judge. But like if he could get on base, he's another one. They could change the dynamic of the game. They need to be clicking on all cylinders. You can't have the first three guys hitting, or the second and third guy hitting this year, and then everybody else be shit. We're not going to get to the playoffs that way.
They don't have last the level of different greatness with two guys. They need more contributions this year. And I think they will get them, because I still am relatively high on them offensively. I think Jazz, I like Jazz to be a 25-30 guy, 25 home runs, 30 steals. I like him in that, in that range there. I'm a big Austin Wells guy. I think with a starting slate here, he's going to be a guy that hits 25 home runs and bats, in the 270 range. I am Cody bangs, man. I'm telling you, he's going to bang in New York. I think Cody's going to have a big year. So now you're starting to see where some of this, you know, replacement offense comes from. The problem is, you know, now you're looking at, what are we getting out of Volpe? What are we getting out of Dominguez? These guys got to play towards the high end of their potential, because that's how this offense becomes really good. Dare I say great. Now, obviously, we thought we only had one dead spot with the third base. You know, now we're kind of looking at maybe two with DH. But that's why you give it to Ben Rice, man. You know, I'm talking about what these are your options. So if these are your options, Dom Smith, Ben Rice, let's go Ben Rice. Let's go Ben Rice. Let's see what he's got.
Ben Rice, I met him. He was a cool guy. He adds. I'm losing my train of thought. Ben Rice is nice being there because Goldschmidt, he's older. He's going to need days off.
Well, that's the thing. You know, Goldie gives you 250, 22 home runs and knocks in 60, you're going to do fucking cartwheels after the first base production that we got this year or last year. So, you know, even if it's not a great season, it's a good season. It's an okay season. He's got an OPS plus of like 101. I mean, you're looking for areas of how to, where you're getting more offense from than you got last year to make up the Soto difference. I mean, if you got a guy at first base with an OPS plus of 101, considering what you got out of first base last year, you know, you're saying, wow, that's barely league average, but you had the worst first base situation in baseball last year.
Rizzo. That was a shame with Rizzo. That was another Yankees. That was the Yankees not realizing somebody was hurt, not doing anything about it. Not, you know, not maybe would have changed anything. But again, how do they not? It goes back to Stanton. How do you not be proactive about this shit? I'm really pissed off about
Stanton. I think they thought he was over the concussion. So, you know, he had other injuries along the way. It is what it is. I mean, so.
I missed that game. I was out in Lake George when that happened.
You know, LeMayu hit a grand slam at the end of July. I forget what date it was. I know it was on vacation against the Phillies. That was the last home run the Yankees got out of first base. August, September, and they got to the World Series. 3 full months of baseball. The New York Yankees, think about this. For 3 full months of baseball, the New York Yankees did not get a home run out of their first baseman. This is the Yankees we're talking about, where they have a history of slugging first basemen. Big time home run hitting first baseman. They didn't get a home run. Yeah, July 31st. It was the 30th. I was on vacation that week. I didn't remember exactly, but for 3 full months, no home runs out of first base. That's crazy.
Everything's been, I don't know. We're getting down to the wire here. It's starting to be, I'm getting excited. I want to see what happens. Fuck it. Fuck Stanton. Fuck Heel. Let's go. And that's the way I don't know. That's the way I'm starting to. I have to think about it, because otherwise I'm going to be very pessimistic about this season.
You know, Kevin's right. Two starters and the Yankee, you know, two guys that started in game 5 of the World Series for the Yankees don't have jobs right now. And we're 3 weeks from opening day.
Yeah. That's wild. Rizzo, I can see. I can't see how nobody's picked up Verdugo. The guy's not bad defensively. I mean, he just had a shit year offensively. I thought he'd get like at least a 1-year contract someplace.
Judge MVP's asking me, who do I prefer for next year, Guerrero or Tucker? I'm telling you, man, Yankee fans can't stand him. But Jesus, give me 10 years of Vladdy.
Oh yeah.
Give me
him here all day long.
Give me 10 years of Vladdy. Let's go.
He's going to be on the Mets.
Yeah, I don't think he's coming here, but my God, could you imagine? I mean, you're really looking for a superstar. You know, that's why the Yankees were in the right, if you really think about it. You know, I never bought this idea that the Yankees are better off without Juan Soto. I just think that's just stupidity. I don't care who said it, right? But you're looking for your next superstar, you know, because Judge is, you know, 30. He's going to be 33 this year, right? So, you know, you hope you get three or four more, you know, top end seasons out of him, but you don't know, especially when have you ever seen a guy this fucking big in Major League Baseball, you know, be good, you know, deep into his dirt, especially deep into his 30s, right? So you're looking for your next superstar. You know, Juan Soto fit that bill. You know, Vlad is a guy who's, what, 25, 26 years old. That could be your next superstar, man. Why not? I don't have a problem with it. He's a douchebag, but he can be my douchebag.
Exactly. I don't care. Listen, he didn't cheat, so I'll take him. I don't want any of the cheaters off
if
the Astros.
This is why next offseason is, you know, if Soto was a free agent this year, you know, next year would have been the a better year to lose him because you have options. You have Kyle Tucker. You have Vlad Guerrero Jr. That's why it was a terrible year for the Yankees to lose Juan Soto, because there's nobody that could replace him. You lose Juan Soto, you sign Vlad Guerrero Jr. You're like, okay, I'm good. You lose Juan Soto, you sign Kyle Tucker. Okay, I'm fine with that. You know, and people, I don't want anybody to sit here and say, oh, you're a Yankee fan, you're sour grapes. You can make a legitimate argument that Kyle Tucker is a better all-around baseball player than Juan Soto is. So if you lost Juan Soto and signed Kyle Tucker, you might be coming out ahead on that deal. Because, yeah, is Kyle Tucker the hitter that Juan Soto is? No, but Juan Soto can't run the bases, really, or play defense. And Kyle Tucker does both of those things. So that's why next year the Yankees should be big game hunting, man. You know, they pivoted to Max Fried, which was nice. I like Max Fried. I think he's going to be really good here. But you need that co-superstar with Aaron Judge in this lineup. That's why next year you can't miss on both these guys. It just can't happen. Either you get your long-term first baseman or you get, you know, Kyle Tucker. The thing with Kyle Tucker here is I'll make the argument against him and why, if I'm the Yankees, I do everything in my power to get Vlad Guerrero Jr. on this team, is because there's no real first baseman coming through this pipeline. You know, you could look at it and say, well, my outfield is going to be pretty set in 2 or 3 years with Judge, Dominguez, and Spencer Jones. You know, you could always trade somebody if you want to do that, or, you know, say when Jones is ready, I can, you know, eventually Judge might play first base. Who knows if we ever get to that point, but it's been a talking point. You know, you could say, okay, we'll sign Tucker, and then when we're ready to bring Jones up, then Judge becomes my first baseman. But, you know, I like Judge, Dominguez, and Jones, the potential of that with Guerrero at first base over, you know, maybe Kyle Tucker. And then, you know, maybe moving Judge to first base or not even having a first baseman. So I don't know, man. Look, there.
That'd be a scary lineup. Can you imagine you got to pitch to those four people? If Dominguez and Jones end up being what they're supposed to be.
There's no wrong answer, bro. Honestly, if you're telling me you want Kyle Tucker more than Vlad Guerrero Jr., I'm not arguing you. If you want Vladdy more than Tucker, I'm not arguing you. The Yankees have to get one of them. They can't miss this next offseason. But we got a long ways to go there. I was asked. I answered. Like I said, you know, you're going to ask me a question, I'm going to answer it. You know, hopefully you like the answer. If you don't get triggered by it. Remember, you asked the question.
Triggered. I feel like Kyle Tucker has a bit of pain in our side of the way Vlad Guerrero is. If you could get Vlad Guerrero gets off of Toronto, which is going to happen, and then you get him onto the Yankees and not on another team, that would be awesome. I wouldn't hate him anymore. I'd be so happy. That'd be a good day.
You know, I've been seeing a lot of people on social media like, oh, well, you know, George Lombard can't be worse than DJ LeMahieu. Well, let's pump the brakes here for a second, okay? Let's all hope to God that George Lombard is impacting the New York Yankees in a major way in 2 years, maybe three. He's 19 years old. He hasn't played above A ball. He had a 600 OPS last year. I understand that he changed his swing and he's killing it right now. Let's just pump the fucking brakes right now. You know, let's give this kid a chance to develop, see some better pitching, move up the organizational ladder here. Maybe he can be a player in 26. I'm not ready to see George Lombard right now. And same thing with Spencer Jones. I know he's killing it right now, and people are saying, yo, fuck Dom, man. Let's go with Spencer. Calm down. He's another guy that's got to move past double A, cut his K rate down. And I know he's killing it too, right? Just everybody relax right now. You guys don't want to play Jason Dominguez, who a lot of people will tell you is much more ready than either of those two guys. But then you got people saying, let's get Lombard and Spencer Jones in here. Just pump the brakes for a minute. Let's get Dominguez's feet wet, and then we'll worry about Jones and Lombard in the near future. It's nice that we got prospects that people can be excited about, but it's not time for either of those guys right now. And I get it that you're looking at Jason Dominguez running to walls out there and our shitty third base situation, but please understand where those two guys are in their developments before, you know, wanting to rush them to the big leagues.
Yeah, if you see either one of them this year, I think we're in trouble. Because either they're going to bring them up just to shut the fans up because we had a terrible season, or there's a lot of injuries. I don't see either one of them being here.
So let me answer Richie's question here. He wanted to know what I thought of John Cena's heel turn from Saturday. It's probably one of the top five moments of my wrestling fandom all time. It was that impactful. It was that well done that I would put it top five all time.
Well, I saw this shit. What was that? The Rock made John Cena.
The real story is the Rock, TKO, who owns UFC, owns WWE.
Okay.
Okay. The Dwayne Johnson is legitimately on the board of directors of the TKO board.
Okay.
So his new character is the final boss because he technically is the boss.
Okay.
So what he wanted, and do you know who Cody Rhodes is?
Yeah.
Okay. Cody Rhodes is the champion. He ended Roman Reigns' historic title reign last year at WrestleMania. So the whole thing is The Rock wanted his own corporate champion, and he wanted Cody to be his corporate champion, and Cody told him literally to go fuck himself, which they did say the F word unbleeped on the show on Saturday, which made it that much better that they let that out unedited. And when Cody said that, The Rock goes like this, and Cena kicked him in the nuts, and they beat the shit out of him, and then Travis Scott forgot that it's not real, and legitimately slapped Cody Rhodes and punctured his eardrum. So what I will say is that I I'm talking about Star Wars, and we're going to do a little wrestling here. It's not on the level of Hulk Hogan turning heel in 1996. You guys got to chill with that. You show your age when you say shit like that. Hulk Hogan turning heel changed an entire industry. This is just an awesome moment in time that we'll remember forever. It's not going to be industry changing like that was. So, yeah, it was amazing. I've watched the video like 1,000 times because it's fucking awesome, and it's going to be sick to see what happens when he returns to TV and what's going to happen at WrestleMania this year. You know, so I'm glad they gave us something different. Cena's retiring in December, so I'm glad they gave us something different, something to shake it up other than him going through the greatest hits for the next couple months. So, you know, it was a good time. It was entertaining. I was wondering why they were saving The Rock for last instead of the match, and now we know. So there you go. Do you want to get some Star Wars shit in here? I feel like, you know, maybe you want to get some Star Wars shit in here.
No, I'm good. I was going to ask you if you watched Ricky Stenicki.
I have seen Ricky Stenicki, yes.
That shit was funny.
Yes, for an Amazon straight-to-streaming movie, I did enjoy it.
It was pretty good. Did you watch Peacemaker?
I have not seen Peacemaker.
It is probably the greatest. When I tell you, fuck anybody that doesn't agree with me, it is probably the greatest superhero TV show I've ever watched.
Jay Snow, heel in wrestling vernacular, is a bad guy, which also predates wrestling because the Grinch, if you remember the song The Grinch, he was in the song.
Really are a heel.
Okay, so heel means bad guy. So a heel turn is when a good guy or a quote baby face becomes a bad guy. So there
they
you
heel
go.
A few more times.
Heel.
Because I'm going to wait for my dog to start running around because they're playing it.
See, see how it all comes back full circle. We started the show talking about Luis Heel And we're ending the show talking about John Cena turning heel. You know what this is?
Kind of how Anakin Skywalker in Episode 3 turned heel when he killed everybody and became a Sith Lord known as Darth Vader.
Aaron MVP, I am 41 years old. I do not play baseball anymore. I played scorekeeper, and that's how I got my varsity letter. I was right-handed, both batting and throwing. Technically, I was a right fielder. But my senior year, we had a regime change, and the coach told me that he wanted to see a lot of the younger players because he didn't give a fuck about the seniors. But he said he was not going to cut any of the seniors. So I knew a lot of playing time wasn't in my future. So that's how I learned to score baseball games. I kept the books because I didn't want to just sit there and jerk off during the game. I actually wanted to be involved and, you know, invested in what was happening. So that's how I actually learned how to play baseball or score baseball games. So there you go.
Score baseball games.
Do you know how to score a baseball game?
You actually told me how to.
Okay.
I can't do that. I don't know how you guys do that shit though. 4-5-9-7-3 play. That shit blows my mind.
One day when we're not going to do this out of the Audi Club. We'll go to a game where it's more relaxed. I will teach you how to score the game.
But you did. I just can't recall.
We're going to sit there and we're going to actually learn how to do it.
Yeah, it's okay.
My Jay Snow wants to know: did I ever cook the books? No, I got in trouble for not cooking the books. My coach, I scored a hit, and he wanted me to put it as an error so our pitcher can get a no hitter. He actually went back and changed the books, but the official scorekeeper of the county didn't recognize his score change. They recognized mine.
Who was your coach?
Mazzo. He came in my senior year.
Really?
Yeah.
He wrote me up because I helped the kid down the stairs on a fucking crutches and I was late to gym. Douche. That was my first attention I ever got in high school.
Yeah, so he was mad. He's like, why did you score this a hit? Because it was. He's like, well, he got a glove on it. I go, did you see how far he ranged for that? That's a fucking hit. I'm arguing with the coach. It's like, it was a fucking hit. You see how far he ranged for? Who cares? He got his glove on. It's a hit. I'm not giving a third baseman an error for that. And Jason also wants to know, and we'll close out here. Traditionally, what I do is the first game of the year I go to, I buy a program and I will score the first couple innings because I used to score the whole thing, and then now that I'm older, I have to get up and pee a lot. So by the third or fourth inning, and I've started walking around the concourse a couple of times, but that was usually when I do it. You're spending so much of your time at Yankee Stadium, I don't want to have my face in a scorecard the whole time.
He does. He gets up to pee a lot. Kids try to steal his bobblehead. I have to fight like five kids to keep his Frank Sinatra bobblehead, but he doesn't score the games. Christian sits there and he's on Twitter the entire time, and I have to nudge him every time something goes on.
No, I have two eyes. One is tweeting. The other one's looking at the game. You're just mad because you're not getting any attention. Ooh.
You're a loser. Okay. You fucking tweet the entire time you're at the Yankee games.
I'm sorry. I'm important, bro.
You're important.
You're a radio star now, too, so shut the fuck up.
I'm not a radio star. This is a podcast.
Which you can listen to on a radio.
That is true. I did used to listen to it on the radio.
So there you go. What do you listen to the show on when you're in the car? Do you put headphones in or you play it out of your car radio?
I don't listen to the show.
Well, maybe you should. This way you can critique your performance and get better.
I can't do that yet. Maybe in like another few weeks.
Well, this has been a pretty good show. I'm going to put this in a top 5 STEM episode.
Oh, okay. Cool.
I'm fucking with you, bro. You're doing a great job.
Well, seasons get started. Listen, we've been talking about hypothetical shit. We actually know what's going on now. I'm not good at fabricating. You want me to fabricate stuff and say,
no, I do. I want you to make everything up.
Well, then you just tell me that I'm an asshole. You roll your eyes at me and be like, oh. So I'm timid over here.
But like, we actually know what's going to happen. I'm getting excited.
You shouldn't be timid. You should be the guy that was running away from the cops and hiding in bushes on my third date with my wife.
That was once.
It almost ruined my entire relationship.
Once. One time. That wasn't one time. I don't know. Post-it notes, bushes in the corner. I had an interesting.
I only have myself to blame for this. I could have let you unalive yourself numerous times, and I stopped it, okay? I stopped it. Francis, I don't know if it's a story that we can tell on air, but if you want to hear it on the 29th, we'll gladly tell it.
It wasn't my fault. That was my friend Richard's fault. I was just naive.
Always somebody else's fault.
I was naive. I didn't know what I was doing. I just went with the flow.
Going back to when you were like 2 or 3 years old and I jumped in the pool after you, I could have ended all this just then, but no, I had to be the good older cousin, and it's just continued for the last 30 fucking years. So whenever I get mad at you, I have to look in the mirror and say, you did this.
Your fault.
You did this.
It's your fault. You're such a douche.
You know I love you.
Yeah.
So anyway, next week, we are looking forward to next week's episode. We're just going to spoil it here right now. If you've been with us all night, we want to thank you. If you haven't liked this video yet, please do so. If you haven't subscribed to NYY Underground yet, please do so. But next week is the return of Fred. That is right. We're doing Fred's projections next week. Longtime listeners of the NYYST podcast know about Fred. This will be Sam's first time hanging out with Fred. So it should be a fun episode. We may or may not have a couple of special guests join us for Fred next week. So it's going to be an amazing episode. It's always one of my favorite shows to do all year. So join us for Fred's projections next week live here on NYY Underground, 8 p.m. on Wednesday night. Hopefully nobody gets injured, okay? And we can just straight bang out Fred. See, Richie knows. Tell Fred 3-drink max. That's right. Stumbling alcoholic bum. So hopefully we can just dive right into Fred and we don't have to worry about... We don't have to worry about talking about more goddamn injuries. So we want everybody to join us next week for Fred. And we'll be sitting here a mere 2 weeks then at that point away from opening day. We're so excited that the season's ready to start. We want to thank everybody again for joining us in the chat tonight. And if you're listening on your favorite podcast platform on Thursday morning, please subscribe there as well. Tell everybody NYYST is the official Yankee podcast of Odyssey. Thank you for your continued support of NYY Underground and the NYYST podcast. Thank you for listening and watching episode 450. Sem, Jesus. Even when you've done this 450 times, you still screw up the ending once in a while. Sem, say goodbye.
See ya. Can't make a promise, but I do my best. 25 sitting on 25 racks. Just got started, and we ain't done yet. Bought a new crib.